Hello, my name is Roger Watson, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the Journal of Advanced Nursing, and welcome to the JAN podcast. These occasional podcasts will be a miscellany of my reflections on working as an Editor-in-Chief, some hot topics in academic publishing, and occasional contributions from guest editors. This is the JAN podcast of 25th of May 2015. Today I want to talk about the process of revising a manuscript. In the JAN podcast of 14th of March 2015, I covered the reviewing process for manuscripts, starting with the editor-in-chief, through the managing editor and editors and the reviewers, back to the editors and finally back to the editor-in-chief to make a decision. And towards the end of that podcast, I covered briefly some aspects of revising your manuscript. Today I want to focus specifically and solely on revising manuscripts. When you submit a manuscript for publication, three things can happen to it. One, it can be accepted. Two, it can be rejected. Or three, the editor can ask you to make some revisions. It's almost never the case that your manuscript is accepted immediately after submission. Unfortunately, it's often the case that a manuscript is rejected after submission. However, what you should hope for is that your manuscript comes back from the editor and asks you to do some revisions. Some people react very badly to the thought of having to revise their paper. Presumably, they thought it was going to be accepted, but they often don't want to make any changes to it. I think this is just people being precious and not appreciating the effort that the reviewers and the editors have put into the paper. My advice to all authors is that if your manuscript comes back from the editor asking you to do some revisions, then you should be happy. Essentially, if this happens, the door to publishing your paper is wide open. Editors used to spend a great deal of time trying to decide if revisions were to be major or minor, and likewise, authors worried about whether or not the revisions they were being asked to do were major or minor. However, these days, we just tend, on the whole, to refer to revisions. It doesn't really matter whether they're major or minor. As I said, if you're being asked to do revisions, the road to publishing your manuscript lies before you, and you should take the opportunity. The reason that we don't make much distinction between major and minor is that, certainly in my experience, I've seen 10 pages of comments from a reviewer described as minor. On the other hand, I've seen a few offhand comments by a reviewer described as major. I'm not criticising either end of that spectrum. Sometimes all that's needed are a few remarks which indicate that the paper needs a lot of work doing to it before it's fit for publication. Alternatively, there can be lots and lots of very minor things wrong with the paper that need to be corrected, and this takes quite a lot of time for the reviewers to explain. However, I really don't think that authors need to concern themselves too much with whether the revisions are described as major or minor if the journal still uses that convention. Again, I emphasise, authors should see this as an opportunity and they should grasp it, and they should deal very carefully with the revisions, because down that road lies the path to publication. In the previous podcast on the reviewing process, I referred to a paper which was a special article written by Howell Williams of Nottingham in the United Kingdom, entitled How to Reply to Referees' Comments When Submitting Manuscripts for Publication. And this was published in the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology. Specifically, it's published in volume 51, number 1, and runs from pages 79 to page 83. If you want to find this article online, the DOI is 10.1016/j.jaad.2004.01.049. And the year of publication by the American Academy of Dermatology was 2004. And I can't emphasise enough how useful this article is. So it's well worth getting a hold of Hal Williams's article and reading it in its entirety. He speaks from the position of an author and as an editor, both having been rejected and both in the position of rejecting papers, and also, presumably, as a reviewer of papers. So he does know what he's talking about, and I agree with absolutely everything that he says in the paper. Williams gives three golden rules for dealing with reviewers' comments on manuscripts, and these are: Rule 1, answer completely; Rule 2, answer politely; and Rule 3, answer with evidence. I think all of these rules are equally important, and I want to deal first of all in some detail with the concept of answering reviewers completely. Answering reviewers completely means exactly what it says. It means dealing with every point in your manuscript that the reviewer has raised. There is a temptation sometimes when you either don't wish to or simply cannot answer a point that a reviewer has made to ignore it. And that is the worst possible thing that you can do. So answering reviewers' points completely doesn't mean always agreeing with the reviewer and doesn't always mean being able to provide an answer, but it does mean very deliberately and systematically addressing each and every point that's been raised. Some reviewers are very helpful and they provide you with a series of numbered points to address. Other reviewers will present the points very discreetly in discrete sections. Some, however, may just produce a narrative. In any case, what you should do, if it is a narrative, you should pull out individual points and then number them and address them in that order. Clearly, if the points have been numbered or if they are in discrete sections, then it's going to be easier. This is to do with answering completely, but it's also to do with answering specifically and helping the reviewers to see how and where you've addressed their points. And one of the neat things to do here is to provide a table with at least three columns in it. In the first column, you can number the reviewer's comments. In the second column, you can provide information on how you've addressed that. And in the third column, you can provide a page number which indicates specifically where you've addressed it. You may wish to have a fourth column for any other comments if you wish, but you must have those three columns in the table. And of course, if you've got more than one reviewer, then you will have to provide a table to show exactly where you've dealt with each of the individual reviewers' comments. If the journal permits you, and some strongly encourage it, make the changes in the manuscript in red, and this helps the reviewers to see specifically where you've made the changes. Don't use tracking or commenting facilities at this stage, as they don't help. I mentioned there that you may have to deal with more than one reviewer's comments, and that's quite common. On occasions, reviewers may either contradict each other or make points which are exceedingly important to one reviewer but completely ignored by another, and sometimes you find this difficult to deal with. If you're in any doubt how to deal with these comments, then you should probably correspond with the journal and get the advice of the editor who's dealt with your paper. But it's often not necessary to do that. Really, if the editors have sent you back contradictory comments, they're indicating that it's up to you, really, to weave a path between them or to decide which comments you want to deal with and how you're going to deal with them. But again, to do with answering completely, you mustn't address one editor's comments and ignore the others. And of course, there's always the temptation to deal with the more favourable points and to ignore the ones that are more negative. But you must make a balanced assessment and look at all the comments, and sometimes the one that seems more negative can actually be more helpful for your paper. So what you must do is to deal with one of the points and make the changes that are necessary, and deal with the other point by addressing it and saying why or how you couldn't make that change. And this brings me to the next or the second of Hal Williams's golden rules, answering politely. Answering politely means not reacting and certainly not overreacting to reviewers' comments. Clearly, there will always be some reaction because we all want our manuscript to be accepted and to be published. However, we must take on board the fact that reviewers are there to help us, along with the editors, to get our manuscript into the best possible state for publication, and we should be grateful for the comments and do our best to address them. So, for example, don't be impolite. And I'm not saying for one minute that reviewers are always correct or that reviewers are always polite. As editors, we do try to weed out the impolite reviewers, but occasionally comments get through. But you mustn't start off with a retaliatory comment like, "Who on earth is this reviewer?" or "I really completely disagree with that reviewer. I can't possibly address that point because they're wrong." Things like that don't help, and we have seen them all. So do try to maintain a polite demeanour. And in Howell Williams' paper, he gives a table, it's table 2, with some very useful phrases to begin your replies to critical comments. And they're quite simple, and I'm going to read them out. For example, you could begin by saying, "We agree with the referee that," and address the point. Or, "The referee is right to point out whatever they've pointed out." Or, "In accordance with the referee's wishes, we have now changed this sentence to," and make the change. And, "Although we agree with the referee that," then proceed to say how you probably were not able to make a change. Acknowledge that things are true, "It's true that," but, or, "We acknowledge that our manuscript might have been, but." These are all ways of addressing comments that may seem adverse. If you're being criticised methodologically, for example, for a low response rate, a comment like, "We too were disappointed by the low response rate," but then go on to justify your study. Or, "We agree that it is important, this area requires further research." Or, "We support the referee's assertion that such and such is the case, although we can't deal with it. And with all due respect to the reviewer, we believe that this point is not correct." So these are very useful phrases, but that last point about believing that something is not correct brings me to the third of Hal Williams' golden rules, which is to answer with evidence. To answer with evidence means not to make bald statements or bald assertions or simply to contradict the reviewers. Clearly, you should try to find evidence to substantiate the points that you're making, and if you cannot find that evidence, then you will have to comply with the reviewers or run the risk of the paper then being rejected at the stage of review. So by evidence, it's quite simple. You can refer to other scientific papers, sometimes to other websites, but do make sure that that evidence is reliable, that you understand it, and indeed that you have understood it, and that it isn't actually supporting the reviewer's points. Sometimes the same papers can be referred to by different people and interpreted in slightly different lights. But you've got to demonstrate to the reviewer that you do know the literature, that you do know the methods, and that you do understand the points that are being made. But again, referring back to the second golden rule, you must never lapse into impoliteness or mocking the reviewer for being wrong, because sometimes these are just judgments, and sometimes there's not a clear path, sometimes there's a preference, and indeed we all make mistakes. So there's really not much else to dealing with reviewers' comments on your manuscript. Just to recap, you should almost expect, indeed you should almost hope, to have reviewers' comments on your manuscript. A manuscript that is rejected out of hand by the editor-in-chief at the beginning of the process will usually not have comments and may not even have comments from the editor. So you should hope that you're going to get a paper back with reviewers' comments to address, because this gives you a chance to get your paper published. And I would say that you must take that chance. If you get a lot of reviewers' comments to deal with and you have the possibility of submitting your paper again, I would really urge you not to withdraw the paper and put it somewhere else. I would urge you to deal with those points, and even if it subsequently doesn't get published, which is rare if you deal with the comments adequately, at least your paper will be in a much better state to go to another journal. So expect to have comments, and as I say, I urge you strongly to deal with them. And I can't say more or better than trying to follow Howell Williams's golden rules, his three golden rules of answer completely, answer politely, and answer with evidence. Now, sometimes it does happen that a paper will be rejected and you will feel badly done to, and that the reviewers haven't been fair and that perhaps the editors haven't been fair. There are appeal processes in journals. They have to have them now if it's a reputable journal. And I know this sounds very much like me speaking as an editor, but I would urge you to think very carefully before you take a paper down the appeal road. There are several reasons for this. The main reason is that appeals are rarely upheld. Two, you will waste an inordinate amount of time waiting to hear a response. As quickly as editors and journals and publishers do try to speed these things up and get back to you with the best will in the world, this is not usually a priority. It has to be dealt with very carefully, and it will involve the editor-in-chief asking the editors for a view and possibly involving a separate third reviewer if there are only two reviewers. Processes like this which may hold your paper up inordinately. I would strongly urge you to just consider taking the rejection and, of course, taking any positive points on board or points that you can address by making those changes and submitting the paper elsewhere. However, I do point out that there are appeal processes that exist, and clearly if you really feel that you have been badly treated, and even if you don't feel that you want to submit the paper there again, of course you have every right to raise an appeal, or to at least to correspond with the editor and to let them know that you aren't very pleased with the review process. And if you've got a legitimate point to make, then the editors will take this into consideration and will indeed have a look at the reviews and perhaps at the reviewers. But again, I would make this not a major occupation. I would keep this in reserve for the one or two occasions when you feel that you could really help the editors to see that a mistake has perhaps been made. So, revising manuscripts, do it completely, do it politely, and do it with evidence. But most of all, if you get the opportunity to revise your manuscript, do it. Thank you very much for listening.